This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Once again, I'm always interested in discussions not so much about UFOs and the sightings, but about the people, the culture of ufology. And Randall and I entertained MJ Benias for his latest appearance on the Paracast last week. And I always enjoy talking with him because, number one, he's very realistic about what's going on. But number two, he has fascinating things to say, right, Randall?
I really like MJ Benias. I've heard him on a couple of other podcasts and was really glad to get him on to talk about the stuff that he does, because I think, although he tends to think himself that he doesn't do as good a job as he wants, I find him to be really quite intelligent and level-headed about the whole field. And we got into some really good discussions on last week's show about UFO people, about ufology culture, and I thought it was a really good show.
And we'll get him on again in the future. Now, that goes back in terms of discussing the culture to the earliest days I was involved in the UFO field. And as some people know, my first full-time job when I was going to school, learning how to be a broadcaster, or unlearning a lot of things, I had a full-time job as managing editor of Jim Moseley's Saucer News. He had a real office in New York City at 303 Fifth Avenue. And at that time, this is the 1960s, Jim was telling me that he's bored by sightings. That doesn't mean he didn't write about sightings in Saucer News, summarize the newspaper reports he'd received. It meant that he was more interested in the people who get involved, the culture. So we've been looking at that for a long, long time. And it's not just when UFO researchers fight with one another.
Well, what was really refreshing with MJ is that we were actually able to sort of turn him around a bit on his whole view of ufology, where he seemed to have a kind of an unfavorable view of ufology as a field because of the way culture is such a big part of it. And by the time we ended the show, he was saying, well, maybe, you know, I have to rethink my position, because if we do define ufology as, you know, the array of subject matter and activities that's associated with an interest in UFOs, then of course we can include not only the scientific side of it, but the cultural aspects of it as well, which make up a huge part of it.
Definitely something we could get into in the future, more and more of that. Today, our special guest, first time on the show, is Frank Joseph. And a lot of you have heard of him. He's written a number of books, up to 20 books on prehistory, especially I'm interested in that subject. He also has a book out just recently called Military Encounters with Extraterrestrials, The Real War of the Worlds. Now, whether or not, folks, you care about whether UFOs are extraterrestrial or not, this is very apt. It's very apt because we've all heard the story of the senators, U.S. Senate. Many members getting briefings on UFO sightings. I have a story in front of me from the 19th of June from Politico. And Politico and the New York Times are the people who broke the story about the Pentagon UFO study back in December of 2017. So this is something we want to pursue further. I'm going to ask Frank about it. By the way, Frank will also be appearing at the forthcoming Alien XPO. And this is at the Knoxville, Tennessee Convention Center. That's August 17th or 18th. Can't say I'm going to be there, but I've been to Tennessee a number of times. I lived near the Tennessee border for several years, so you never know. Frank, welcome to the Paracast.
Thank you so much. It's a great pleasure to be here.
Now, having written that book, and now you hear these stories, in the U.S. Senate getting a briefing on UFOs, the fact that it's being taken seriously by the mainstream press. And there was a quote, for example, from Senator Mark Warner. He's the ranking member of the Senate Intelligence Committee, you know, the ones investigating the Russian hacking and participation in the 2016 election. I'm going to quote this, Frank, and then we can go on. This is from Senator Warner's spokesperson. If naval pilots are running into unexplained interference in the air, that's a safety concern. Senator Warner believes we need to get to the bottom of it. Frank, what do you think?
Well, I can't tell you how surprised I was at the timeliness of the release of my book. I certainly didn't have any control over that because the whole thrust of my investigation, which has been going on 25 years, I suppose, I started it, is that there has been a secret relationship, a bad relationship, between, believe it or not, military establishments on planet Earth and somebody else that's way far out of our solar system. And this has been going on in a negative form for more than 100 years. And I refer to it as a kind of a secret war. Now, what's happening, I believe, just to address this as quickly and clearly as I can, what's going on in government now is a form of disclosure, slow disclosure. But this disclosure is not coming out just because, well, we should get it out and we have enough evidence now and so on. It's because there's pressure being exerted. And this pressure being exerted is through the increasing numbers of confrontations, sometimes deadly confrontations, as we'll talk about today, deadly, destructive confrontations between ourselves and some off-world power that's been going on. And it can no longer be suppressed, and it's coming out. And they're breaking it to the world, I think, as gently and slowly as possible. This is a procedure that we're seeing. This is not just the natural development of a news story. This is a process that's been going on for a long time. It's been planned for a long time to release this information and to slowly make people aware of what's happening to prepare them, because the potential for all this could be real social dislocation. In the beginning, when these UFOs were first being really seen and interacted with 50 and more years ago, the first reaction of government officials was to clamp down on it. Nobody should know about it whatsoever because people will panic. Since then thought, oh, people won't panic, but they will when they learn how scary this can be. And so it's a matter of conditioning. Just like if you've got a frog, for example, and you want to freeze the frog, you just don't throw him in a tank of cold water because he'll jump out. What you do is you put him in warm water and you slowly decrease the temperature until he freezes to death. And that, I think, is an analogy of what's happening now, is that they're not going to give it to us all at once. They couldn't, because it would blow everything else off the front pages of newspapers around the world. All of our concerns, our earthly concerns, would shrink to nothing. And that, I believe, is what's going on. It's a kind of a scary process. I don't know where it's going to lead. I have no idea about that. But I believe that's what's going on now. It's a process of emotional or psychological acclimatization that's taking place.
Now, I don't know if you ever heard of this book. It goes back 12 years ago. Shoot 'em Down, The Flying Saucer Air Wars of 1952. That was written by Frank Ficino Jr. We did have him on the show.
Right.
Stan Friedman, the late Stan Friedman, wrote the intro. And, of course, the main focus there was on pilots firing on strange objects. And that, of course, can be frightening, because you have to think here, what if these are extraterrestrials, intelligent species? They probably have weaponry way, way, way beyond anything we have. And if we shoot at them, don't you think they might decide, you know what, these stupid earthlings, let us shoot back? We have Frank Joseph, and we're going to talk with him more about this fascinating subject and about the unusual state of affairs these days. His book is Military Encounters with Extraterrestrials, The Real War of the Worlds. You're on with Gene and with Randall That means you're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails t-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great t-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down, and, you know, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We return. Frank Joseph is here talking about those military encounters with UFOs. Let me get back to the basic question here as we persist. Do you think that whatever UFOs are, that they have a hostile intent?
No, I don't believe they have a hostile intent. Except if you want to consider a hostile, well, I wanted to get into this, I suppose, in a different way. But since you asked it, Gene, I suppose it's going to come right to it. the intent, it would appear, of these interdictions that have taken place and are taking place are because of a concern, a legitimate concern that the extraterrestrials have for our, not just our military developments, but our development in outer space. From what I can understand, I've been researching this now for a couple of decades. As far as I'm able to determine, there was no hostile interactions between these alien life forms and human beings for thousands of years. They have been here for thousands of years. I have no idea how long. The first report of them, we can get into that, first real legitimate UFO report goes back more than 3,000 years ago. And that's what got me really started on writing this book when I stumbled across that, the Thule Papyrus. But in all that time, from 3,000 years all the way up to 1916, that's a line you can draw in the sand. But so far as I can tell, no one was hurt, no one was injured, perhaps abductions, I don't know, that's rather questionable. Nothing like that. Lots of sightings, but nothing bad. 1916, however, everything changed. Why would that be? Because in 1916, human beings, for the first time, were able to put high explosives on heavier-than-air flying craft. That had never happened before. Because of the extraterrestrials' objectivity, I suppose, and their familiarity with things like this, I mean, for God's sakes, if you've got a vehicle that can take you to one planet or world or galaxy after another, you've seen a lot. You can extrapolate a lot. So when they saw that human beings had developed bomber aircraft, they knew that it would be a short time historically before they would be in outer space with atomic weapons. And sure enough, between 1916 and 1945, when the B-29 dropped the first atomic bomb at Hiroshima, how long is that? I mean, a couple of decades. Now we've jumped to the point where the vice president is talking about a space force, the militarization of space. Now, we don't, as a species, have a very good track record of being kind and supportive, not only of our own species, but of all other species on Earth. I think that a really advanced civilization in outer space or some other world would view with alarm the development of a species, its technology, like our own, to go beyond our planet and to go beyond our solar system. I think we are regarded as a potential threat. What their policy is towards that, we can discuss that, but I think that is their motivation. So they're not, to answer your question in a roundabout way, I don't believe that they are fundamentally hostile, but they're very concerned.
Well, if they've been here since prehistorical times, at least biblical times, whatever, we can talk about ancient astronauts and those theories later on, and how that has infused our culture. Witness the TV series Stargate SG-1 and the movie, which basically goes back to that. Now, having watched us for all these years, certainly you'd think they'd be able to control such things.
I'm a human being. They are not human. I cannot think why they do the things they do. I don't know their motivation. I don't think there's any way for us to really know that. It's probably not a good idea to try to put them on our level in any way whatsoever. The only possible way we can perhaps understand is to view them as a different animal species that feels threatened. And you can go out into the forest, and if you threaten an animal, it's going to react in a certain way, fight or flight. And I think that this is that only in this basic approach can we understand why they do the things they do. The reason I mentioned 1916 earlier was because it was at that time, not just because bombers were invented, but because of the numerous attacks that were inflicted on the United States all across the eastern part of the United States, from Wisconsin all the way down to mostly the eastern seaboard and in Washington State. Now, that sounds crazy until you realize that at that time in the first one was, I believe, in January 1916, a number of munitions plants were deliberately destroyed during World War I. This was just the beginning of America's participation in that conflict. We, especially the DuPonts, which controlled all of the munitions manufacture at that time, the largest manufacturer of munitions in the world, we were, through DuPont, the source for the carnage that was taking place in Europe. And it was at this time, in 1916, throughout most of that year, I think for the first 10 months of that year, that there were a number of these highly questionable and inexplicable explosions that took place. And I made sure that when I delved into this that I wasn't seeing just accidents or industrial hazards at work here. And so we can talk about that. But 1916 was the point where I think that there was definite alarm on the part of these extraterrestrials, and they felt that either they had to stop what we were doing or to send us some kind of a message that we should not be doing it.
I would think, though, if they could do that in 1916, they can certainly act with regard to our nuclear program. Certainly they would know what's going on. They've been here for thousands of years. But then the assumption is made, when we talk about that, that they had no impact or interference in our early culture. And that may be the reverse, because when you look at ancient astronauts, you see the possibility of human interactions with advanced beings.
Well, Gene, you're way far ahead of me on that, I'm afraid. I don't know what to think about these things, quite honestly. They're very interesting. There's a lot to be said about them, but I can't speak to that. My focus is very narrow. It's only from 1916 to the present time. It's only on the military character of this whole UFO question, which changed over. It morphed over. And so I really can't speak with the same kind of authority on what may or may not have happened in the past, except that one incident that got me started on this book in 1993. At that time, I was in the Cairo Museum Library in Egypt, and I was researching something that had nothing to do with UFOs at all. It was a period of time in ancient Egypt that I thought was worthwhile. I was investigating Thutmose III. He was a very great pharaoh. And they have original source materials there, of course. They're translated in all these different languages. And I came across something called the Thule Papyrus. It came out in 1933.
Let's break here, Frank.
Oh, okay.
Because sure. That's a good point to leave a cliffhanger. Okay. Frank Joseph with Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Fellow patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump says he's postponing a nationwide immigration sweep to deport some undocumented people living in the U.S., including families. He's now said he wants to give lawmakers 2 weeks to work out some border solutions. Brent Wilkes is Senior Vice President for the Hispanics Foundation.
I mean, it's no accident that he announced his reelection campaign this week, and this is also the same time that he announces some type of massive crackdown on immigrants that will deport millions of people. Sounds a lot to me like campaign rhetoric and not really much of a serious strategy from Homeland Security.
The president's decision came after House Speaker Nancy Pelosi had phoned him asking him to call off the operation. Administration officials also tell the Associated Press Immigration and Customs Enforcement was concerned that some details that were leaked to the media could jeopardize its agents. This is USA Radio News.
Money! 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 Money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do you do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. That's 800-634-1315. NMLS number 1136.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Okay, in Cairo, you're doing your research. You run across this material.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us more.
Okay, it's called the Thule Papyrus. I won't go into the long and short of it, but it is a legitimate archaeological document that all of the authorities that have been with it have affirmed that it is real. It was, like I say, it was discovered in 1933. This is long before any UFO flap anywhere. And to be enshrined, as it were, in the Cairo Museum, they do not look kindly on fakes or questionable material there, let me tell you. It's an international institution. It's not really even Egyptian. And so the materials you get there, and I saw the real, the original. I could touch it, but it was there, and they have the translations of it. So I figure, okay, this is part of the Thutmose of the Third sort of thing. And it goes back to the year 1457 B.C., 1457 B.C. That's a long time ago. And I was shocked when I read this, because the Thule Papyrus is not a religious text at all. It's nothing about gods or anything like that in there, nothing fanciful. It is a bureaucrat's report, and there are thousands of these official documents. It's a royal report. And it tells what happened. It does not give the date, the specific date. Perhaps it's lost, but it does give the month. In February of 1457 B.C., at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, this is how tight it is, a disk of fire, that is how it's described, a fiery disk or a disk of fire, sometimes described as a ring of fire, but more often as a disk of fire, 150 feet wide, totally silent, made no noise, flew very low up and down the Nile Valley for days, and it caused a terrific amount of chaos. People were horrified by this thing. It didn't do anything. It just appeared. And then the following day, it returned in the company of an unknown number, a fleet of these things, flew over the Nile Valley. The chaos was so extreme that the pharaoh, Thutmose III, was forced to call out the army. Well, the army could hardly do anything about that, but he had to have some kind of a show that something was going on, and he had to preserve order. Thutmose III himself saw it. Apparently, thousands, tens of thousands of people saw this return of this fleet of what they describe as fiery disks flying low overhead. And then they rose rather quickly towards the south. It's described and disappeared. And that's it. That's the whole thing. And they say in the Tulip Papyrus, it concludes that bureaucrat couldn't resist putting in something. His own comment says, never like anything like this has ever been seen in Egypt before. Now, when I saw that, oh my gosh, what is, how could this possibly be? I talked to the curator there. I said, is this a hoax or what is this? No. The Tulip Papyrus, he explained how it had been translated and retranslated. And then when it was found, interestingly, by Tulli, the Italian archaeologist, he never even published it. He thought it was too extreme, and it wasn't until after his death, I think just at the end of World War II, 1944 or 45 or something like that, that his private papers were found, and they were published and translated, and then there it is. But, you know, skeptics, they never mention that. But what a terrific document. And that is not only, in my opinion, as far as I've ever found, the finest documentation of a UFO sighting from the ancient world, but it's the first military report. And it is a military report because Pharaoh Thutmose III got out his armed forces to do something about it. It was a military matter. And when I read that, I figured, you know, maybe someday I should pursue the military aspect of the UFO question. There have been some books, some excellent books, the one that you mentioned, about military aspects of the UFO problem, but I want to do something comprehensive. When did this start? I try to find out. When did these things start, and what do they mean? Where are they going? I don't know that I've answered any of those questions. Well, when they started, I've answered that, I think, 1916. Where it's all going, I shudder to think, quite honestly. But that's what got me started on this. That was 1993. I wrote the book, I finished the book a couple of years ago, but it's a lot of work.
Well, yeah, there's other authors, of course, who've looked into UFOs and in history. And I've noticed, actually, you know, on your site and online, where you've written a lot of books, and some of them deal with ancient mythology, Atlantis, the sort of prehistory of North America, that sort of thing. So some of these things are in there. They allude to, well, I guess we're assuming that they're terrestrial civilizations that were highly advanced or more advanced than we today tend to believe that they were, as opposed to, say, something extraterrestrial or off-world visiting our world. But still, you've got these examples of some comparatively high technology being involved with comparatively primitive civilization.
That's correct. As a matter of fact, I've just finished a book. It won't come out for a couple of years yet, but it's called Advanced Technologies, Ancient Advanced Technologies. And you can even go back to Rome and find technology that they had that we don't have. For example, the Romans were able to build with concrete that has lasted over 2,000 years. Our concrete will not last more than 100 years maximum. And they also had concrete that would harden underwater. We don't know how they did that whatsoever. And this is only just back 2,000 years ago. So peoples in the past have been able to do very great things with or without the assistance of some extraterrestrial help. And it's true that I've done most of my work has been on ancient America and prehistory and so forth. And I was really quite reluctant to write about UFOs because I know some people are very skeptical on that thing and, oh, it's too fanciful. So I tried to combine what I've learned in writing about history and prehistory with this problem. That's what I did. I applied it, what I've learned, or hopefully learned, to exposing, and I think it is exposing, a very, very serious problem that can morph in time to our obliteration, quite honestly. You know, you mentioned earlier, Gene, about older extraterrestrials have all this advanced technology. They can do anything they want with us. Well, sure. I think in a real war of the worlds, if they really wanted to wipe us out, it would be no problem at all. They wouldn't have to come down here with something like machines and cannons and things like that. They'd just drop a pathogen down here from some other planet, and that would be the end of us. But they don't want to do that. I don't know why. They may be thinking about something like that. If we get too dangerous, They'll wipe us out. I really do feel that. That's just natural. I think if we in the future, if some future generation of human beings, if they foresee us as being too much of a threat, we're going to be gone.
That sounds like what Klaatu said in the movie, The Day the
yes.
Earth Stood Still. Of course.
That's correct.
Where this advanced alien being comes to Earth to deliver a message, eventually to the scientists, because he can't get the government leaders together. And that is, join us or become part of our galactic universe, our federation, which is a later term. And if you don't, we have the power to take you out. And the thing I'm wondering about, too, when we talk about this, about concern of possible extraterrestrials in our advancement, the fact that we can take our weaponry to outer space. As we've learned, as we look into possible extrasolar planets that may fit within the range of having life on them, I have to wonder here, is it possible that humans are the only species in the galaxy that does warlike things? I would think that this has to be, if they are at all similar, made up of similar chemicals and things like that, that they, some of them at least, would have achieved similar means or ends depending on their growth. We'll have more to come in a moment. I want to remind our listeners we have that other radio show, the After the Paracast podcast, where you never know what's going to happen next. And it's part of the Paracast Plus package. For more information, go to plus.theparacast.com. We also give you a version of this show that is free. Free, ladies and gentlemen, of the 41 minutes of network ads. More to come with Gene and Frank and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Frank Joseph, I was suggesting, as we ended our previous segment there, we see possible concern on the part of extraterrestrials in human development, where I guess they've taken a non-interference policy before then, and this may cause them to be more concerned. I can't think we're the only race in the galaxy that does this sort of thing. What do you think?
Well, I think you raise a lot of great points there, Gene, and I just underscore everything that you say. Nature is nature, whether it develops here or someplace else. And if we have anything to go by on Earth, you know, there was a time on Earth where our populations, our human populations were low. And I'm talking about specifically in the early Neolithic period, you know, and people were relatively peaceful because there was no encroachment of population and territory. There was a relationship, a sympathetic relationship between population and environment. But then when numbers got too big and too many people were crowded the environmental availability of resources, well, then it led to war and conflict, and I don't see why that same process, as you say, couldn't be applied on an interplanetary or even an intergalactic scale. And it's just yet we may be regarded as a kind of a virus. I mean, look what we've done to our planet. Look what we're doing to our own home world. Our own. I mean, we are a species that can drop not one but two atomic bombs on our own people, our own species in World War II. I mean, what is that? How does that look to a truly sophisticated civilization far, far beyond us? When they see things like that, do they want us in outer space and want us as competitors? I'd be rather alarmed. That's what the book is about. It's a strange thing. I enjoyed writing this book very, very much. It was very interesting. But towards the end, I was wishing that it would be over. It's disturbing, and I've had other readers tell me that they enjoy the book. It's very interesting and compelling, and so forth. Very nice things they say, but it gets towards the end where it seems to go faster and gets to be more dangerous, and that just stops. It cuts off because the book doesn't really end. This is a process which is still taking place. The developments are still on the way. It's interesting that that Warner that you quoted earlier, the very first thing he said was that there's possible danger regarding our pilots. What kind of danger? Just collisions, or what kind of danger is he talking about? Yeah, you bet there's danger, all right. We've already lost men. We've already lost people, and not just us. The Soviets have probably lost a lot more than we've lost.
I want to go into that, Frank, in a moment. But the thing I would wonder about here is, based on what Senator Warner said, it implies here that maybe the government doesn't know as much about all this as we think they do. It's still their primary concern is national security.
Yep.
Or if there's guilty knowledge, it's possible it's sent off to private industry like a Robert Bigelow. So
we can't get anything through the Freedom of Information Act. What do you think?
Well, Warner may or may not know something, but you can be damn sure that the military and government people there that know plenty about and have known for a long, long time. And the disclosures, especially that Stanton Friedman made, you know, bless his heart, he just did he was just the best of them all, in my opinion. And he was able to show that the government knew about these things for a very long time, very long time.
Well, yeah, we know the government has sort of been, I mean, when I say government, I don't necessarily mean the military agencies of the government, but more like the bureaucrats in on the political side. Yeah, they sort of come and go. But the people behind the scenes that stay, the colonels, the long-term people who are operating equipment, you've got to know that at that level, there's a long history of seeing some pretty strange stuff. And with the kind of equipment that they've got these days, it's pretty hard to believe that they don't have a lot more information than what we know, or for that matter, I think even a lot of the government bureaucrats know. I mean,
you know, one of the things that I learned, oh, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you.
Well, I was just to finish that off, news bit that we're talking about here. I mean, Trump himself says, well, okay, I've been briefed on the reports. I did have one very brief meeting on it. The people are saying they're seeing UFOs. Do I believe it? Not particularly, right? Like, he just, like, sloughs it off. This is the president. Like, okay, they're telling him they're there, and yet he's like, well, you know, I think his golf game's more important or something like that.
Remember, well, Trump is Trump.
Yeah, but I don't know if we can even take him at his word regarding that, because maybe that was a ploy, too. Don't worry too much, folks. Everything's in control. One of the themes that I encountered while I was researching this book is that there is a real concern, always has an abiding concern on the part of military authorities, that they do not want to be perceived as losing control. They are the best. We have the best Air Force in the world, and your security is entrusted to us, nothing to worry about, you can sleep well at night. And the very notion, the very suggestion that there is somebody out there that we do not control who has technologies far beyond anything we can even imagine, that is unacceptable. The other thing in conjunction with that is the reason, one of the main reasons why there's this shoot down order, which has actually been in effect for decades, is because we want their technology. We want to back engineer whatever they've got. The best thing would be for us to capture an intact UFO. That's what the Air Force really wants. That's what the military wants. A totally intact UFO, preferably with its operator on board who we can persuade to explain everything to us. That's what they want. And that's why they're shooting these things down. They're trying to collect all this junk and trying to back engineer it. So far, with very limited success, virtually no success. I think I know the reason why. Because the technology, so-called, if you even call it that, the technology of these extraterrestrials has very little bearing with anything we know. UFOs that have been seen on the inside, and there have been people that have seen the interiors of these craft, are always surprised that they are so bare, that there is virtually nothing in there except seats and maybe a gauge or two, maybe not even that. And that's because these crafts are probably mental constructs. Now, this is really far away, but it is conceivable that these crafts we're looking at are hardly more than shells, that they are controlled, in fact, by the mental capabilities of these creatures. I know it's a huge thing to accept, but what else can we come up with? Because these crafts, they have no emissions. They make very little noise or no noise. Mostly they're utterly silent. And they're just really like rowboats. That's all.
We can sort of come up with some alternatives there. But, you know, I think you do make a good point. And you've mentioned Friedman a couple of times. And, of course, you know, his belief, and I tend to share this idea as well, is that we've seen these motherships. Huge ships, and that these saucers are the small craft that we're seeing. They're like shuttles. Like you say, they're like, you know, they're like the rowboats or whatever that, you know, you would release off a ship or a lifeboat or something like that. It may be the case that really what's controlling the smaller craft is some mothership in some remote location, maybe up in orbit somewhere or something like that. And the shuttles themselves, they're not very big. They seem to have weight. They leave trace evidence. They do leave marks in the ground. So there's something physical there.
Yeah.
But I don't think that those craft are the ones that are bringing the aliens themselves from wherever they come from. I'm not sure if it's space or another universe or what the case is. But wherever they come from, I don't think those small ships are the ones that are getting them here to begin with. I think they're like an excursion module.
Well, those are excellent points, and I think that what you're talking about, or really to get out of this, is that we're not dealing with just aliens or with just one set. I think that there are various, call them races or peoples or variants, just as there are on Earth, and that might help to explain why a number of the craft are so vastly different from one another, that they are representative of different alien types, and I don't presume to know what they are. It's interesting, too, that some of these vehicles, they don't just stream in and stream out. They do that sometimes. Sometimes they phase in and phase out. That's been seen quite a bit. That's been quite common. All of a sudden, you're looking at this craft, and it just sort of dematerializes. These are all, I think, indications of some vast intellect at work that's far beyond anything we can imagine. You know, as is fairly well known, human beings only use a very small percentage of their brain capacity. What if you had a species, even just like us, that was able to maximize all of its intellectual capacity? Good Lord, the power unleashed by that is unimaginable. Cannot imagine.
I imagine maybe the Q continuum concept in Star Trek Next Generation. Frank, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.